Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday Morning MV Pro Call. Today is June 16th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by subscribing or, you know, by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives there. So, love having you on live, though, and especially next week, I would encourage you all to put it on your calendars. We will send out a couple more emails and reminder, but put it on your calendars as we are going to be having the Immediate Path president, the Immediate Path WQA president, Toby Thomas, will be joining us as a guest on next week's MV Pro Call. Please put that on your calendar and let's welcome him and listen to what always proves to be really interesting conversations. I look forward, I've been fortunate enough to speak with the WQA past presidents for the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 years. We've been able to do that. And there's been some really interesting conversations and insight into the industry. And, you know, for me, it was always, especially when I would go to the conventions, to the meetings, and I would see the big name people up there, you know, people who are really involved in the industry. They go up on stage and they have the presentations or they'd be there. And I always felt like, you know, they were larger than life. Wow. That's, you know, that person is, you know, I don't know. They were celebrity and within the industry. And what you find is that they're just good and decent people like you and I running a business and trying to do good for this industry. And I love having them on as a guest to talk to them because you get to see that. You get to see the, you know, who they really are, not just this, you know, not just the big picture or the person doing the formal things on, you know, on stage or sending out the emails and everything. It's just they're really interesting personal conversations, and I really enjoy them and looking forward to that, and I hope you are too. That's next week. So let's start the call off this week, though, the way I do pretty much every week, which is by asking, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that is worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything we can help you with? Do you have anything?
Callie, if nobody else does.
Go, Jen. Right.
This week, I have had, interestingly enough, I have had two people just this week that are newer to the industry and are interested in how to meet other professionals in the industry and how to get more involved with WQA. And I also had somebody else who's been in the industry for a while and was working on their certification and kind of didn't realize what WQA was. I mean, they knew they needed to get certified, but they didn't know that, like, yeah, you know, they said the little people can get involved. And I'm like, no, you are the big people in this industry. So I just wanted to let everybody know I've talked with WQA and there are committees, and I've mentioned these committees in the past. You can go on to the WQA.org /committees, I think is what it is. You can go on there and see the different committees that are out there, but you can still sign up as an observer on these committees. So if you're a little bit on the shyer side or you just don't even know what to expect or what you're getting yourself into, you literally can just sit in on these meetings. They're usually once a month, once every 2 months. Have your camera off. You can be muted. And you can just kind of see what goes on in these meetings and what goes on at WQA. So if you want more information about that, just let me know. Or Heather Duve at the WQA, she can also guide you. So just wanted to pass that on because I know I've got three people that are going to be looking at becoming observers in some sort of committee or task force.
Yeah, you're right, Jen. That's especially this, you know, it used to be a little more difficult because a lot of the people that listen to this call are not always going to the national conventions or the meetings or whatever. And with now a lot of these committee meetings being held via Zoom, that is an excellent time to get involved without the travel to see what they do and see if it's something you'd want to be interested in. So that's a really, really good point. That also reminded me, and I can't believe I didn't mention this because it's something I'm actually really super, super excited about it. A couple months ago, we had a guest from come on and talk to us. He was one of the engineers from a local municipality on Long Island, one of the smaller municipalities, and he came and spoke with us about their take on it. And at that time and around that time, we had suggested meetup groups, you know, going and doing, looking for water or water-related groups on Meetup, even if there's not one already there. Meetup group is really easy to start. I mean, you put your information in and start a Meetup group, and people with similar interests, you know, you can do little things like that around the area, even just to, you know, create a Meetup and do a class. You know, you can create your own Meetup class or whatever to talk about water. And, you know, all things water, you could call it, or something like that, you know, and just see if people join, see how many people are interested, and you could, you know, have little classes or do little things. But anyway, there's, from these Meetup, also I think it's Eventbrite, is another one that you can do, because I think this one tonight came from Eventbrite, but I am going to tour a local municipality. They're very proud of their new 1,4-dioxane treatment plant, and they put it out there for the public to come tour, to come learn about this thing and see what it's doing. I'm super excited about that. I've never actually seen that type of a treatment system specifically for it. I suspect it's going to be, you know, look like tanks and pumps and stuff that we see all the time with different media in it. But I'm just really curious how they're going to present it. But anyway, I just wanted to mention, you know, get involved. Those of you, especially that are in, you know, I mean, all of you have a municipality around you, you know, and if you've ever read a consumer confidence report, you know that they're all about marketing how great they are. And considering how many people they supply water for, they do a pretty good job, right? We've talked about that before. We can finish the job for them. Most of them out there do a pretty decent job of keeping the water able to meet the minimum drinking water requirements. You know, it makes our job a lot easier sometimes based on what they do. But you can go out there, you know, see if they have those things out there, get out there, do a tour, or even just to get to know the people who are responsible and build a relationship. Instead of having this adversarial relationship with your local water treatment municipality workers, have a good, solid relationship. Work in conjunction with them, you know. See if you can build that partnership. That will totally set you apart from the others in your area. But anyway, pretty excited about that, to go see this treatment plant. That's pretty, I'm pretty excited to be able to do that. So, all right. Anybody else have anything else before we go ahead, Jen?
Sorry, can I add just a little bit? I know there have been a few times that I've been on sales calls, and there are people who are just really, really interested in the water in their area, and they're kind of water geeks like the rest of us on the call. And to be able to refer them to this meetup group means that, you know, they know that you're involved, and you're not just a salesperson. You know, I mean, you're involved in different things like that. And I like, you know, being around, it's people with passion. And so I think that's just that's a bonus there.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have anything then before we start our topic? So let's talk about referrals a little bit. But I mostly want to talk, not necessarily how we ask for referrals, although we can certainly touch on that if we have time. I want to talk a little bit about how you guys are handling referrals when they come into the office. Now, let me kind of start here by saying, I myself am a fan of protected territories. And that admittedly started way, way back when I was in sales. I liked the idea of having a protected territory because, number one, I didn't like to leave my territory. I like to, you know, I believe very strongly it's better to work a little territory a lot than a lot of territory a little. So I didn't want to have to drive outside of my territory. I wanted to stay within my community, within my territory. And, yeah, it was small. It literally was a small town. I had about total in my entire territory about 25,000 people in my area. 25 to 30,000 in my entire sales area, but I did 350 units a year, you know, from that. I liked it that it was small because in a small community, everybody knows everybody, and so I took advantage of that. I figured if everybody knows everybody, then I just need them to know who I am too, and I need to be seen as the water treatment expert. Therefore, I wanted to be the guy to call, you know, to – and we have talked about this before about how even in a bigger, more populated area, those larger populated areas are made up of smaller communities. If you yourself live in a more densely populated area, think about where your kids go to school, the same places other parents there. Think about where you shop. It's probably, you know, the same store. It's probably you take your car to the same place. They are all small communities, even if they're in the midst of a much larger, more densely populated community. So the philosophy works. It doesn't really matter. You don't have to live in a town with two stoplights, which is what my sales territory had when I first started in it. But I really liked that protected territory because I could work within the territory. I also liked it because when I got a referral, which did on occasion happen, where somebody would call the office, and because it was a protected territory, it didn't matter if they asked for me or not, I documented everything in my own personal CRM. We didn't have a cloud-based CRM back then. And so, you know, it wasn't something the office could look at and see that, you know, I had worked with this on this address or whatever. But because it was within that territory, I was able to they should have automatically given me that lead. And then I could determine whether it was a creative sale or a referral or a house lead later. A lot of companies do not have that. And I actually got a call this morning from one of our MV pros, and this is, I actually had a different topic, but changed it to this one because I thought it would be just a really good discussion. But what happened, this person has been, they were actually the very first salesperson that this company brought on about 3 years ago and worked all over the place. You know, drive because it was a huge territory, driving all over the place, making sales. And now that company has several different salespeople, and they have territories that are more, more defined. They're trying to build that protected territory philosophy. They didn't have the luxury of doing that early on because they didn't have the salespeople to cover it. Right. So now they do. They have more defined territories, protected territories. So a lead came in to the office in one of the new territory manager's areas, which he then went out and sold. The new territory manager went out and sold that lead. And just because it's a small company and people see, you know, the names of different things and different people. The gentleman who called me this morning said, "Hey, that was a referral from one of my customers. I've been talking about that, you know, I've been talking, my customer told me about this person 6 months ago. And, you know, now I haven't been getting very many leads. I've been out there, you know, I worked all that stuff for 3 years. And I got to tell you, nothing is more bitter than knowing that you've worked and worked and worked and then to see somebody else. This is why I made protected territories when I became manager. I defined them a lot more clearly when I became manager, because as a salesperson, I know how hard it hurts. It feels like somebody opens up your wallet and steals money from you. When you put in the work, you've developed those relationships, you get, you know, finally fruit grows from you know, all the watering and the seeding and the fertilizing that you've done with those customers. You know, a piece of fruit grows and somebody else grabs it and eats it, unbeknownst. Okay, I mean, this was not a malicious thing. This came in to the office. The office assigned it to the territory manager whose territory it was. It still doesn't make it hurt any less if you're the guy or gal that built that relationship and had, you know, and didn't get to eat that fruit, you know. So my question is, how do you guys avoid that happening? You know, how do you, I mean, I know how I would deal with it, but I am curious, you know, those of you that are in sales, I'm curious about how, you know, how you handle that situation. What do you do? I mean, is it just one of those things where too bad, so sad? That's the way it is now. We now have territories and that's it. Or, you know, how do you guys handle referrals when they come in? Does it ever happen to you? So, and go. I'm just kind of curious about the discussion, you guys. How do you handle, what is the process for handling referrals, and how do you handle it amongst yourselves or within the office?
It's just that bad for us too. I mean, I had a couple years ago, I had a sales rep call me wanting some help on well water. And while he's talking to me, the customer goes, "Hold on, is that Stacy? We called in and asked for Stacy." Because I'd sold him at their two previous houses. And I ended up, he's like, no problem. And he handed it over to me because he didn't want to deal with the sulfur and the problem well water. But she said she had actually called in and asked for me. And they said, "Well, this is Spencer's territory." And mm-hmm. sent them Spencer and never said. So she just assumed I wasn't still there.
Yeah.
I ended up getting that back, but it's like, that was one that she actually called in. I mean, we've had issues. I'm more concerned about the ones that are in my territory that they book on somebody else because, oops, they transposed the zip code.
Yeah, the zip code was wrong or something like that, yeah.
But one of the things I do is I have stickers with just my cell phone number on it that I put on the softeners on all my follow-ups and all my inspection checks. So it just has my cell phone number. And I also pass out, when I'm on the follow-ups, little cards that they can list names and phone numbers of people they'd like to refer. And I tell them that, because we do a referral fee for customers. They'll get a credit on their account. And I tell them, fill this out. You got to fill it out and then just text me a photo of it, and I'll make sure if they purchase or rent, you'll get your credit. So I kind of apply it that way. Because I have had people that have end up using other sales reps and not getting their credit and then calling me and complaining.
Yeah. Yeah, like certainly that. Yep, heard of that too. Absolutely. Yep.
Uh huh. And I had a friend. She got a marketing internet email from a guy, from one of our sales reps that had her territory at that time that I'd sold ages ago, who was a referral from a Culligan rep from a different area, He called her up and convinced her that she needed to upgrade from a rental to a purchase. And on her contract, if he would have pulled it, she could have applied 6 months of her rent towards her purchase. And he
said,
"Oh, no, that's you've had the system too long to do that." But he wasn't smart enough, or did he pull her contract to know that our contracts didn't have a time limit on those.
That's what's hard when you – I got to tell you, for me, that's one of the reasons I never liked going out of my territory. I did get referrals mm-hmm. outside of my sales territory, but I took, like, way – I really believe I took, like, way better care of our customers than a lot of uh-huh. the other people did. And that
exactly.
– the same, Stacey. I used to get calls like that from people, you know, and that's hard, you know. It's definitely hard. So do you have – systems in place, and I want to give, you know, other people a chance to hop in here too, but do you have systems in place to help remedy those? Because it's never going to be perfect. And I got to tell you, especially when you're on commission and when you've worked that hard and you've gone out there, and especially when it doesn't feel like you have the support from the office, you know, when somebody doesn't realize how much effort went into it, it can be bitter. It can be rude. It can hurt. I've lost sleep over that, you know, but are there systems in place to remedy that? What is your process if something like that happens? What do you do? How do you handle that when that happens? Because I don't think you're ever going to prevent it from happening. We all work at the same company, and ultimately it's good that whether the customer bought it from you or somebody else, that's a good mm-hmm. thing for mm-hmm. all of us in general. It still doesn't change the fact that you need to make an income and that you are not out there doing all the work so that somebody else can reap the benefits, right?
Right.
So
for us, they don't care. Management, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And that's the part of the problem. And my sales manager and I got into it a couple of weeks ago over it.
Yeah.
Because someone got an appointment in my territory in a time that I was available, and which the sales rep told him, he said, that's Stacy's territory. And he's like, oh, Stacy's on vacation. I said, that was a Friday. I said, I'm not on vacation until Tuesday
yeah.
of next week. So, and we went at it, and, you know, they don't care. Is what it boils down to.
Well,
and
I mean, there is a bigger, again, from a man, and I definitely don't want to get into, you know, what one manager or another does on, but
yes,
but I will say that one of the solutions there is to, I think communication is so huge, right? You have to, within the company, and it can't be when you can't communicate these things effectively a lot of times when people are heated, you know, when things are in the moment. So that's where communication within an organization where everybody is sitting down and making sure, I mean, look, people answering the phones, they don't understand. They've never done it. They don't understand how much effort goes into getting a referral or working it or doing those types of things. And so getting them involved in the meetings when they're answering the phone so that they understand that it's not just give it to whoever's available, the easy way out. They need to understand that there is an impact on who that lead goes to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so I think office communication, even creating a policy, you know, I wonder, and I certainly don't know and don't necessarily want to get more involved in the situation you have with your sales manager, but, you know, I wonder if there's a situation that, you know, where you could talk a hypothetical, you know, when things are not heated and say, hey, how do we handle this situation when it arises? So if it ever does arise, you go back and say, look, we talked about this and you're the one who made that, who said that's what we're going to do. And
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? And it all should be in writing, but communication is definitely there. The other thing that I need to point out in my opinion here, and I think this is really, really, really important, and I'm going to challenge all of you that are in sales here to do this, is you have to document it. It does happen. It does happen mm-hmm. that you get a referral. But just because a referral, just because somebody lives next to somebody that you sold a system to 6 months ago doesn't mean that that referral should automatically go to you. Now, if you guys have protected territories and that's the way it's supposed to go, then yes, that's a different issue. But in terms of a referral from from outside of, you know, I've seen salespeople, I sold five people in the neighborhood. So what? So what if you sold five people in that neighborhood? Did they call in and ask for you? Did they say, you know, just because, I mean, how much advertising, how many did you put door hangers on the 5-point, you know, the three across the street and one on each side of the house? Do you do that with all five of those? You know, what have you done to continue to generate business other than go sell what was originally a house lead in that territory? So if you have done things to work it, you know, to generate that, then that should be documented. It should be documented in a CRM. Nowadays, most companies have a cloud-based CRM so everybody can see it. And then you do train the people to answer the phone. You know, when somebody says, hey, I was referred by neighbor, hopefully they go in and they say, oh, who's your neighbor? And they look and see who sold that neighbor. And if that was you, Stacy, then you should get that, you know, that should be the referral, right? But only if you can demonstrate that you've done something to earn that referral. Otherwise, it's the company that's spending the money advertising and doing the marketing and doing all of that. You know, one of the things to – I always called them my customers. Yeah, that's one of my customers. But the reality is they weren't my customers. They were the company that I served customers. You know, they belong – I mean, I treated them like they were mine because, you know, they fed my family and I was grateful to them. But when I left, even if I had gone to work for another competitor – those customers belong to the company that had paid me at the time. You know, and that's hard sometimes for salespeople to hear, but it's the reality of the job. You know, otherwise, the only other option is to go start your own dealership, you know. So anyway, I didn't want to have this call without pointing out that a salesperson does have to have some responsibility in it, although – I also want to recognize that the office, in my opinion, the company has to have that responsibility too. Otherwise, you're going to have a bunch of salespeople who are not incentivized to earn referrals, to go out there and want to earn them. If they're doing all the work and everybody else is getting the benefits, they're not incentivized to do that. Okay, go ahead, you guys. I heard, Stacey, you had something else to say?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to this? Jen, what's your opinion on this? You work with a lot of people out there, too. You want to hop in on this one?
I remember sometimes there were similar situations years ago when we worked, you know, when I was in sales. And, you know, it usually came back to, did you log it down somewhere? Again, I had the CRM that was only on my laptop, and unfortunately, I ended up losing everything on my laptop. But, we had to just make sure that we logged everything down. Now, if the sale was already made, what was kind of nice is there were a couple of the sales team that I had a good relationship with. And I remember one time that had happened, and I, you know, it's like, hey, that was my customer. I proved that I had, you know, talk to that person, but ultimately the other person is the one that sold it. And, you know, I could have possibly gone in there and totally flopped. So, but they're the one that sold it, and they actually, you know, they did a really good job at it. So the next time they had what they called a lay down, they basically said, here, you can go ahead and you can have this lead. So having a good relationship with the other people on the team, you just kind of work together. But there were a couple of times that it just kind of happened that I lost out, and it sucked. Now it's a different case if somebody intentionally goes in and takes one of your leads, goes into your territory and takes one. That's a whole different ballgame. That's a whole other call.
Agreed. And that's where the communication, I mean, those policies do have to be spelled out. You know, they have to be in place so that when they happen, you're dealing with policy, not a heated circumstance, you know. So
Kelly,
if anybody,
you know, that right there, that phrase that you just said, this is something that, I mean, you and I have been in on meetings talking about policies and things like that. That is probably the most important. If your company does not have policies or rules written down, talk with your managers, talk with your owners and say, hey, can we get written policies? What do we do in this situation? What do we do in this situation? And you're not going to touch all those bases. But if it comes down to something new that happens, then at least you can update your policies. But I think the policies and procedures are so, so important within a company.
Yep. And it's important for everybody from top to bottom to understand what they are and to follow them. You know, if you have a management team that doesn't abide by the policies, and it's just as bad as if you have a sales team that doesn't abide, or subordinate team that doesn't follow the policies. You know, so final comments. Anybody else have anything they're itching to add to this? Guys, next week, please, 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 please come on, join us. Toby Thomas, going to be an exciting call. Looking forward to it. Thank you all very much. I really appreciate you hopping on, and we will talk to you next week, if not before. So be safe, everybody. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.